Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello again. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Thrilled to be with you. Our first week of podcasts here on Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence, the seaside golf capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I call home. My partner, the travel master, Darren Bunch, out there, Bakersfield, California, is where he calls home. A plethora of great golf in Bakersfield, Darren.
Hey. You're right.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we have 100 courses here, and you have 6 or 8 that are really good. Come on.
I don't know if you want to say they're really good, and I don't want to know. I don't know if you can play 6 or 8 golf courses. There's a lot of private golf in Bakersfield. It's why I go away to go play golf elsewhere.
And we're glad that you do. Our show today, I think, is a great one for us because we get to talk about places that we really want to go. You and I have been to a lot of places already. Certainly you have in the almost 25 years that you've been working on golf travel and travel-related trips. I've been playing for 35 years and have been lucky enough to experience a lot of great golf. But today we have a great topic.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our own bucket list because it's one of the biggest questions I get when we're out and about talking to other people. They're like, well, where do you want to go that you haven't been? Not just where have you gone that you loved. So we're going to talk about what they are. And ironically, coincidentally, I don't know what the right word is, number one on each of our lists is the same.
And we will find out what that is. I thought it was fascinating that we both felt the same way, although understandable, I would have to say. You can find us at a number of places, and I think Darren and I are both most excited about our new home, which is with Ryan Ballingee and his great golfnewsnet.com organization. You can also find us on iTunes podcasts and TuneIn. You can get to Darren on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence, that's LauranceE, on Twitter and Instagram. And we certainly hope you'll connect with us. Give us your ideas, your suggestions, thoughts, funny stories, anything related to golf, travel, destinations, lifestyle, you name it, we want to talk about it. And as a way of getting started here on our fourth podcast, we want to bring into play exactly what we're talking about. And we're talking about bucket lists in this episode, and I think for most people, they wouldn't even have this on their radar. But after a while, I think they'll find out that St. George, Utah is definitely worthy of being a bucket list destination. It's really, truly an amazing place. 300 days of sunshine a year, multiple great, beautiful golf courses to choose from, wonderful, affordable lodging options. And it's why more and more golfers, from couples to multiple foursome buddy trips, are discovering the beauty of St. George, Utah at the foot of majestic Zion National Park. Darren, I know you just came back from there. We've talked a little on the earlier episodes about the golf and the stunning golf courses that are in St. George. But a part of any great golf trip involves food, and St. George, Utah does not lack in that category.
Yeah, they have some great restaurants, and you know, that's a big part of any trip that we do is you're not going to play golf all night. Hopefully you are going to play golf all day for the most part, but a couple of places in St. George that are just, you can't miss. Cliffside, which actually has I think it's called the Inn at Cliffside, up on top of the mountain, well appropriately named Cliffside, where you can overlook the entire city of St. George. The Painted Pony is one of my favorite restaurants really anywhere. Just a great, great restaurant with not necessarily completely high-end food, but a cut above. So, you know, it's a special occasion type of a place. Right around the corner from there is a place called George's Corner. And these Painted Pony and George's Corner are right in the historic downtown part of St. George. George's Corner is just a cool little bar and grill. It's got this great little back room where you can shoot pool and watch basketball or sports or whatever you want to do. And then if you make the trek up to Zion National Park, you've got to stop at Oscar's Cafe, which is kind of right outside the gates. And they have a little bit of everything, including just some stellar Mexican food. I ate a chimichanga there that blew my mind.
And is still with you.
Yeah, probably.
I can tell. All right. Well, that's the scoop on St. George. You can find out a lot more about it at stgeorgeutahgolf.com. And if you go there, it's family-owned, it's locally operated, which is key, and they can help you build custom golf packages of all shapes and sizes, and you can fit any budget in there. stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Learn about a fun, friendly, affordable destination, and you can start planning your next great golf getaway today. All right, let's get to our bucket lists, Darren. I think, as I said, that for both of us, we've played a lot of places, but there's still a few that we haven't gotten to, and these are pretty special, I think, on all fronts. We're going to go backwards here. We're going to start with our number three choice first and work our way to the place that both of us want to get to, and hopefully we can do that together. That would kind of be fun, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. But first up, my number three on this list is Wales. And basically everybody I know in the golf business, the golf travel business, who are my friends, have been to Wales. They either went for the Ryder Cup or they went for trips that were leading up to the Ryder Cup. But people tell me that Royal Porthcawl is supposed to be just absolutely phenomenal Lynx golf experience. You and I are huge Lynx fans. We play Hickories. And, you know, I can't wait to get there and just see the beauty that is Wales.
That's a great choice. I have actually been to Wales a long time ago, did not play golf there. So that's another place I would love to get to with you. My third spot on the bucket list is South Africa. We were lucky enough, you and I, to do a podcast for Golf Connections on Golf Getaways with the great Mark Immelman, Trevor Immelman's brother, who is now, as you know, a wonderful sportscaster with PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM, a great golf coach here in the States. And he started talking about the trips in South Africa. And not that I didn't want to go before, but once I heard Mark talk about some great places, it really, really got me interested. My particular first choice would be to go to Cape Town and the surrounding area there for the Cape Winelands. There's great golf, Erinvale Golf Club, a number of other golf courses in a beautiful part of South Africa. As you know, I love wine, so you can kind of mix the golf and the wine. And also, it gives you a chance to get to take some safaris, which I know you've done, but has also been on my bucket list. So I think South Africa, for me, would be third on my list of bucket list trips.
Yeah, let me just say, you know, I got to go to Kenya a number of years ago with my father on a golf and safari trip, and there's nothing like it. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life, and I can't wait, and hopefully I get to tag along when you eventually do go to South Africa, because there's just something about a trip that combines golf and safari.
Okay, so that's third on our lists. Darren, what's your second?
Well, I haven't been to Ireland yet, and again, that's another one of those situations where pretty much everybody I know has been. But I want to give Royal County Down a whirl with my Hickories. But also, I want to go to some of the quirky places like Old Head that I read about. There's just a lot of great golf, obviously, in Ireland, and I can't believe I haven't been yet, and I'm hoping to go.
Well, you are actually talking to somebody who has been to Old Head, and not only has been to Old Head and played it, but had the second best score of my life at Old Head, which was obviously memorable, but I can't even begin to describe how great that day was.
What was the score?
For me, 73. Ooh. I had shot even par a number of times, and so got to Old Head, and it was a magical day. And the first hole, I hit my second shot left of the green and made a miraculous up and down for par. And somehow, you know those days when you're playing and you just find a key that day? And I actually found something on that first hole. And I said, well, I'm going to try this again. And on the second hole, did the same thing. And went around the golf course and got to 18. And I was even par going to 18. Beautiful, beautiful uphill hole. Hit a great drive middle of the fairway, and it was just a question of clubbing. There was some wind at that point. There was relatively little wind during the rest of the day, which is amazing. A cloudless, beautiful, non-windy day at Old Head is rare. And I chose to hit a six iron in because I was hitting it good, and I should have hit a 5-iron, and I left my shot dead center on the flag, but about 40 feet short of the pin, and three-putted for bogey and shot 73 on the last hole.
So you choked.
I wouldn't call it choked, my friend. And let's see you go out and shoot 73 there whenever you go.
That's a good point.
That's all I'm going to say.
I don't see that happening, but...
That wasn't with the hickories.
Right.
That was a whole different experience.
So obviously.
We'll be testing it with hickories. Okay, my second also involves that part of the world. Though I've been to Scotland and Ireland a number of times, there's a place on the west coast of Scotland that I have yet to go, and that's always been on a bucket list trip, and that is Machrihanish Golf Club. It's a course that old Tom got his hands on in 1879. It was originally a 10-hole course, then became 12 holes, and old Tom went out for a dollar, which was his charge that he used to go, and that's what he got for going to a golf course in the day. And he added the holes that brought it up to an 18-hole course. So old Tom's hands were on it. The great J.H. Taylor, part of the great triumvirate, he did some design work. And it's just one of those courses that a lot of people don't go to because it's really out of the way. There's only a few ways you can get to it, but it certainly would be worth it. And to me, what really makes it worth it now is that David McClay Kidd, who you and I talk often about and will talk often about, added to going to Machrihanish when in 2009 they opened the Machrihanish Dunes course, which David McClay Kidd designed. So it's got the old and the new, one of our favorite designers. It's just a place that I've really, really wanted to get to.
Oh, that sounds great. And that whole part of Scotland is something we really need to go explore because I haven't been... to that part of the country either.
All right, if I had a drum roll now, I'd do it because both of us...
How was that?
Buddy Guy's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's great that we both want to do this, and I have a feeling that we're going to do this and do it together. And both of our top bucket list destinations involves Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania.
Yes, and as we've pointed out when we've talked about this in the past, obviously they're not the same place. We understand that before all the hate mail comes. To do justice to a trip that would involve all three would be, would take like a month, basically. So it's probably multiple trips, but there's so much great golf. And for me, Tasmania really stands out. Everything I've ever seen about Barnboogle and Lost Farm just looks great. I know there are other golf courses in that regional world that you are particularly fond of and want to go check out as well.
Yeah, I do. And I think New Zealand, Kauri Cliffs, and every picture that I have seen of this place is spectacular. 15 of the holes have views of the Pacific Ocean. 6 of them are played alongside cliffs that go right down to the sea. You've got all kinds of views there. There's been a lot of history there, tournaments. Shell's Wonderful World of Golf was there. It's the kind of place that I think is really, really difficult to pass by. I mean, you talk about Cape Kidnappers, Tom Doak course. Very expensive. It's getting up in the Pebble Beach range, about 500 a round. But given that it's going to be a bucket list trip and a one-time destination most likely, I think it's really worth it. There's all kinds of great golf there. We could go on and on. So that's our number one bucket list trip for both of us. Let's just quickly touch on what we think makes a course or a destination a bucket lister. I know that right off the top of people's heads, they go, okay, I've heard about this or I've seen this. But when I say that to you, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think there are courses that are bucket listers, and it's because people have seen them played on tour, or they've hosted major championships, or there's some kind of mystique to them. Obviously, we tend to focus on courses that you can play, but obviously, places like Sandhills and Cypress Point are at the top of everyone's bucket list if they can get on. I've played them both, by the way. But it's just those types of courses are one thing, but it's the destinations too. Obviously, we're going to talk a ton about Bandon Dunes and Sand Valley and Streamsong and these places that that really are becoming destination golf. And those are bucket list places for people who haven't been to them the first time. And then they end up being places that people go back to time and time and time again because they're just unforgettable. And they are so accessible, to be honest with you.
There's a couple of places that I like to think of as almost backdoor bucket list places. And to me, that's someplace that you wouldn't really think about, okay, I got to get there quickly. But somehow, when you get there, if you do, you almost look back on them and say, this should be a bucket list place for different people. I know that happened with me for Cape Breton Island. You and I and our good friend Vic Williams, who now publishes, is the editor of Golf Tips Magazine. Brian Orr, our photographer extraordinaire, and great partner. The four of us got to go to Cape Breton Island. And though I had heard about Cabot Links as a must-play course, we had seen so much about it when it opened. What flipped me out was the entirety of Cape Breton Island and the great golf that's all the way around the island, the villages, the restaurants, the lodging, the culture. And I came back and said to all the people I knew, this is not just a bucket list course at Cabot Links, which it is, and of course Cabot Cliffs now, but Cape Breton Island is a bucket list destination.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously there are other places like that. You love St. Andrews. We've talked about that on the podcast. I've only been to St. Andrews to play Kings Barnes and the Old Course. And I would love to go back and spend a week playing everything I could possibly play and exploring the town and doing all the other crazy things. And I'd love to play the Old Course again, obviously.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of places like that. We'll get into these as we go through on the podcast. Reynolds Plantation in Georgia was another back-end bucket list place for me. I had no idea how great that course is and the variety of great golf that there is there. So there's a lot of places we're going to talk about.
And I think one other place there, too, is people don't think about Nebraska. We've talked about that before, that places like Dismal River and certainly the Prairie Club are those things that people think, oh, man, yeah, I got to get out there. But once they get out there, they're like, man, this should be on top of everybody's list to go do.
All right. So, again, you can hit us up with your idea of what makes a bucket list course or destination and maybe what your bucket list destinations are. You can do that at #emergency9, #talkinggolfgetaways. We'll be looking closely at those over the upcoming weeks and months here on Talking Golf Getaways. Our next podcast is going to be an interesting one for us because we're going to tell you a little more about who we are and why we're doing this. We're going to give you some ideas of the names that almost made the cut instead of Talking Golf Getaways, and I think you'll find those fun and interesting. And again, let's be interactive. Hit us up on all those places we told you you can. Darren Bunch on Twitter @GetawaysGolf, on Instagram @GolfGetaways, and me on Twitter and Instagram @MitchLawrence, LaurenceE. Darren, it's been fun.
I think it's important while we close here to initiate our drinking game that will run the entirety of Talking Golf Getaways. You mentioned it a little while ago. I didn't want to jump right in, but you mentioned our partner and golf photographer extraordinaire, Brian Orr. That will be the Golf Getaways or Talking Golf Getaways drinking game. Anytime you hear Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, you are required to take a shot of whiskey.
I've already taken two just since you've done that. So before I fall over, thanks for being with us for another podcast here on Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Hope you've enjoyed it. A little bit of Tom Petty to lead us out. We'll talk to you again soon. So long, Darren.
See you tomorrow.